So what is your story? That's what we've been talking about. This morning I want to talk about telling it like it is. About the story that we have, the story that we're a part of, and conveying that to the people around us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 says, "Whoever would find this life will lose it, and whoever would lose this life for my sake will find his life." Basically, what Jesus is saying is that if we are all about right now, all about me, all about mine, all about what Howard was talking about in his class this morning, all about having all this trappings of this world and a little bit of money here and a little bit of stuff there, and if we're all about figuring out the now, then we'll be lost for eternity. But if we're all about figuring out and being lost in the now for the sake of eternity, then we'll understand what's going on. This week, Steve Sable. Does anybody know who Steve Sable is or was? He was the president of NFL Films. His dad was Ed Sable, and way back in the early days of NFL football, he started this company called NFL Films. And what NFL Films is all about is taking what everyone has seen that week, football game, basically, we all watch pro football, taking what everyone has already seen and extrapolating from that the story of the game. The story of specific plays or specific that were going on. And so through NFL Films, we not only got to know the score of the game or who won or who lost or even the statistics, but we got to learn about the story of the players, guys like Mean Joe Green or Ed Too Tall Jones. We got to hear the stories of Don Landry or Tom Landry. I'm going to stop with the names today. We got to hear the stories of these people. And his dad would say, Ed Sable would say, "Tell me a fact and I'll learn something." And that's the truth. If you tell me a fact, I'll learn. If you tell me a truth, then I'll believe. But if you tell me a story, it will live in my heart forever. See, that's what God is trying to do to us. He's not trying to give us facts so that we'll learn. And He's not trying to just give us the truth so that we will believe. He's trying to tell us a story so that He can live in our hearts forever. I've said it before from this very spot, that we can learn the facts and the truth that 2 + 2 = 4. And as Wes said this morning, we can memorize that. We can write songs about that. We can draw pictures and just make up all kinds of clever rhymes and things about the fact that, and just know it backwards and forwards and do it 9 different ways, that 2 + 2 = 4, and no one will be able to convince us otherwise. The only problem is that no one has ever fallen in love with 4. No one's ever been in love with 4. God's not just the facts, and He's not just the truth. He's trying to tell us a story about who we are, about how we connect with Him, and how we connect with each other. And that's this morning, is about telling our story like it is. The good, the bad, the ugly, the truth, the facts, that all make up the story. This morning, if you've got your order of worship, you can follow along on the back, and it's got the blanks you can fill in to kind of understand where we're at and where we're going. But this morning, I want to share with you some facts about this, some truths about this story, and about telling this story. And the first thing I want us to understand is that you've got to know your story to tell your story. You know, one of the things that we're real good at in the church is, and those of us who have grown up in the church is, we're real good at going to church. And we're real good at, like Wes was saying, memorizing Scripture or singing the songs. But have you ever stopped to think, why? Why am I here? Why do I sing this song? Why do I memorize this Scripture? Why do I know this Bible story or that Bible story? You know, why am I doing this? What is it that has got me to where I am right now? See, that's part of your story. And we have to be people that have a knowledge of what has gone on in our lives to be able to tell that story. You see, your story is not what you've heard about God. A lot of times we think that our story that we're to tell and evangelize and get out there and spread the news and spread the word about God, but our story is not just what we've heard about God. These are just the facts that we know. I mean, we know a lot of facts about God. You know, we know that, you know, what He's done and how long it took Him to do this and what He told this person and where He was on this date and all the things that are going on. We know the facts and we know what we've heard, but that's not the total of our story. And the other thing is, our story is not what we believe about God. See, that's just what we are convinced is true. And a lot of times we get hung up when we talk about or think about telling our story to people, and whether it's at work or whether it's at school or whether it's at, you know, whatever it is, when we're trying to quote unquote convert people, and we just say, this is what I believe, and we give them all of the reasons and all of the truths about that, of why I believe what I believe. And that's not our story. This is what we're convinced is true. See, our story is what you have done about God. See, this is what has the chance to penetrate the hearts of those around us. And that's what's important, isn't it? That's what would have us to do when Jesus said, at the last thing He says, is go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell people about this story. And that's what we do every Sunday, is we commemorate the story. We have communion. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Me. And that little word "me" is impacted with a lot of reality. You know, do this in remembrance of Me. Yes, He died on the cross. Yes, He was perfect. Yes, He was in the grave for 3 days and He rose triumphantly on the third day. But that's not all. That's the "me." It says, remember the story of My life. Remember the times that you've had with Me. Remember the times that we've done these things and we've been to these places. Remember all that I've done. That's your story. What has God brought you through? What triumphs have you had in your life? As we talked about last week, what opened my eyes so that I might see? What kind of those who are with us are more than those who are with them moments have you had in your life? That's your story. When it seemed as though nothing was going right, and God showed up, those "be still and know" moments. You see, we have to know what has gone on before we can live that for anybody. Howard brought up in his class so eloquently this morning about his grandson and Hudson James. So there's a name I got right. I got that one right. Okay. Hudson James Ricketts. He was born yesterday, Valentine's Day. And he was laying there helpless, crying. And the baby wasn't doing too well either. No, the baby's, Hudson's laying there crying, hollering, "Put me back in. I don't like it out here. You people are weird." Whatever it is that are going through a newborn's mind, and you know, and he's perfectly healthy, everything's great, but he's just helpless. I mean, he's helpless. Howard brought up the fact that they laid him on a blanket under a heating lamp, and if they had left him there, he wouldn't survive. He would not survive without constant care. And that's us. Not just when we first came out of the womb, but spiritually, that's us every single day. We have to know that before we can tell that. Otherwise, we're just telling people facts and figures and things that we've heard and things that we believe. But until we know our story, that God has brought me from this place through there, the valley, the shadow, the death, all of those things, and that's been done in my life, until we know that, we'll never be able to tell anyone. Not only do we have to know our story, we have to understand our story before we can tell our story. We have to understand that. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him. See, we have to understand things like that. Otherwise, we won't have an answer for people when they give us the question of, why do you do what you do? Why in the face of all of this heartache or of the, you know, the cancer or the financial decay, why in the face of all this do you seem to have a smile on your face and joy in your heart? Why do you have a song? Are you so positive? Don't you understand that we're on the brink of another war? Don't you understand this? And unless we understand that God is in the middle of that, working for my good, we won't have an answer for them. And we won't have an answer for them because they won't ask us, because we won't be positive. We won't have a song in our heart. We won't have joy on our faces. We will look like everyone else. We will walk around with this, woe is me, it's getting worse, and this is going to happen, and that's going there. And we'll be just like all those people, prepping for the, what's going to happen? Fighting for our lives. You won't catch me fighting for my life. I was talking to somebody this week. I said, look, when all this whatever happens, I want to be one of the first to go. I don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic landscape. I don't want to have rations buried on this. I want to be with my family and all of us get swept away in it all together and we all die at the same time and go to heaven and be with the Lord. That's what I want. When the zombie apocalypse happens, we are not going to be living through that, folks. We're going to be running towards the mob of whatever's bad, and so we can just get it over with. Because what's on the other side is better than what's waiting for us here. I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart. And I understand that when bad things are going on, God's working through it. He's working for us. If we don't understand that, then we won't be the people that others come to and say, how do you maintain during these trying times? Because we won't be maintaining. We'll look like everyone else. Just as scared. Just as isolated. Just as nervous. Just as preparing for the physical calamity as everyone else. You see, but what we have to live is the fact that there is purpose in our position. Whether things are going great or whether things are going bad. Whether things are looking up or they're looking down. There is purpose. We have to live like we know why things are happening. Do you know why things happen? And not necessarily good things, not necessarily bad things. Do you know why things happen? So that we can glorify God in the middle of them. When good things, when it seems as though the heavens have opened up and the blessings are flowing, we can say, glory be to God, because all good things come from Him. And when it seems as though the ground has opened up and is swallowing us alive, we can say, glory be to God, because I know that in all things, He's working together for the good of those who love Him. And we can say things like, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. In James 1 and 2, through the rest of that chapter, which is, I encourage you to read, memorize, maybe Wes can write a song about it. I mean, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work. And anyone who lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously. God, He's saying, understand the purpose in your position. Understand your story to be able to tell your story. And the last thing is, we have to believe our story or you won't tell it right. You ever known somebody like that, that just, they don't tell stories right? Your husbands, wives, whatever, there's, oh, let me tell you about this. And then you're sitting over there. You're not telling it right. It's like, all right, well, you tell it. That happens to me all the time. It's like, well, you know, no, it goes like this. No, that's not what happened. No, he didn't say that. He said this. And we get it all mixed up. Ruin a great story. Well, that's what we do. If we do not believe what's going on, if we don't believe that we are babes and God is taking care of us on a daily basis, if we don't believe that we are helpless without Him, we won't. See, we'll tell it from our perspective about how we endured. And how I did this or I did that. And when things were going, you know, this way or that way, then I just mustered up the strength and I dug down deep and I remembered my roots and my upbringing and all, and I did that. And God's up, no, that's not how it goes. See, the gospel is for us. But it's not about us. In the gospel, the good news, the salvation of Jesus Christ, it's for our well-being, but it's not, the story's not about us. See, the story is about God. And that's what Jesus understood, and that's what he was trying to get across in chapter 5, 18 through 20, when you know that story, there's this guy, and he's got all these demons that are possessing him. And this is a guy, I mean, who the Bible says they tied him with chains. They tried to subdue him, but they couldn't. He lived in the cemetery among the tombs, and he would run around at night with no clothes on, wailing and cutting himself, and it was just it was an awful mess. And Jesus comes and he heals the man of all of those demons, and he drives them out, and they go into this herd of pigs, and then the guy he gets some clothes on and he gets cleaned up, and he's sitting, and the Bible says he's in his right mind, and he's sitting there, and everyone was amazed, and he comes to Jesus and he says, I'll follow you anywhere. Jesus says, no, don't do that. What? Why? What do you mean? What, don't do that. Yeah, you would think Jesus. Yeah, come, follow me. You know, be with me. Listen to me. Hear what I say. No. He said, no, don't do that. You go and let everyone see you. You go and let your story be told. Now that's a story, isn't it? I mean, think about what that guy could say. But that's our story. And I guarantee you, when he's telling that story or when people are asking him about it, you know, what happened? How did you get over all those demons? He couldn't say, well, you know, I found this self-help program, or I started doing all these calisthenics, or I started watching what I ate, or, you know, I made some really good investments. His story started out with, there was this guy and his name was Jesus. See, that's our story. And that's how we tell our story. If we know it, if we really understand it, and more importantly, if we believe it. Do you believe that your story, the beginning, the middle, and the end is, there's this guy, and his name is Jesus. And he did this, or he did that, or he came into my heart and he drove out every other entity that was in my heart. Or he's driving out. He's in the process of driving out, you know, because I'm fighting him back and I'm holding on to some things, but he's just fighting back all of these demons and he's casting them out. And he might not be casting them into a herd of pigs, but he's putting them in one pig at a time. See, there's this guy. His name is Jesus. Now that's telling it right. That's telling our story right. Because without Christ, all of the good that we do, all of the benevolence that we have, all of anything that we attempt, is nothing. So what is your story? Where has God brought you from? What has God done? What has He brought you through? What has He cast out of your life? How has He put you in your right mind? Because if we live like we believe that story, then people will ask, because we will be different. And when they do, we can tell them there's this guy. His name is Jesus. And that's our story. And we got to be sticking to it. This morning, I'm going to invite you to know and to understand and to tell your story right. Tell it like it is. That there's a guy. His name is Jesus. And He is the reason for everything that we are. For all of the good. In the midst of all of the bad, He is the one working it together for our good. He is the one who perseveres us through the trying times. Your story might start today. That story in you might start today with you coming forward and confessing Christ, confessing Him as your Lord and Savior, being baptized into His death, burial, and His resurrection, so that your story starts today. You can tell people there's a guy. And His name is Jesus. Whatever your need is, if it's to be baptized, to be prayed with, to be restored, you can come forward. I'll be up front. We can pray about it. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand?